Well, old Mother Superior lived her 98 years, and after 80 years of ministry to the poor and the elderly, her body was finally giving out. She lay in her bed quietly with all her sisters around her, trying to comfort her in her last moments of her journey. They gave her a glass of warm milk to drink, but she wouldn't take it. So one of the young sisters brought it back to the kitchen, and then she remembered a bottle of Irish whiskey that she had in the cabinet that someone had given them as a gift the Christmas before. So she poured a generous portion into the glass of milk and brought it back to Mother, put it up to her lips, and she took a little sip, and then another sip, and then a big gulp, and pretty soon the whole glass was gone. She sat up, looked at her sisters, and they asked her, "Mother, before you die, please give us some of your wisdom." She looked with a pious look on her face at them and said, "Whatever you do, don't sell that old cow." We all love new things, except maybe old scotch, like Mother. New houses, new cars, new gadgets. And we dread getting older. Our bodies aren't as strong as they used to be. We can't stay up as late as we wanted to. And when we do try to get to sleep, then we have to get up several times in the middle of the night. We spend billions on fad diets and exercise programs and vitamin supplements and sometimes even surgery to make ourselves look younger, a little bit longer. There is, of course, nothing wrong with that, as long as we don't get overly obsessed with that. God tells us we must take care of our bodies and our souls. Our bodies, after all, are the temples of the Holy Spirit. But we mustn't forget why Jesus died for us, that he gives us the gifts in the sacrament of baptism, the gift of faith and the gift of eternal life. The sacrament of baptism, we are made into new creations because Christ makes all things new. Christmas is over. We took down the Christmas trees yesterday, and we move on to the beginning of Jesus' public life, back to ordinary time. And as the Lord passed by, we hear John the Baptist proclaim this morning that he is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, a term that we use so often that we sometimes forget the deep meaning that it has and the love that it portrays for God to send his son as a lamb. If you were Jewish, you may remember back to the book of the prophet Isaiah, some 600 years before Jesus was even born, when he speaks of the suffering servant. We heard parts of it this morning in our first reading. But in that book, Isaiah says that it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured, while he thought of himself as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, or a sheep before the shearers, he was silent and opened not his mouth. He was wounded for our sins, bruised for our iniquities. He has laid upon himself the chastisement that makes us whole. That's what John the Baptist meant when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And we recited at every Mass, right before Holy Communion, "Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us." We're not Jewish, so what does that mean to us as Christians? Jesus not only saved us from our sin, but he destroyed death forever and promised that one day we would be with him forever in heaven. St. Paul tells us this way, that we should realize that we were delivered from our futile way of life that our fathers handed on to us, not by any diminishable sum of silver and gold, but by Christ's blood beyond all price, the blood of a spotless, unblemished lamb. But still often, don't we ask the question, why? Why did God have to enter human history only to die on the cross? Why did we need a Savior? Was Christmas really necessary? God could have saved us any way he chose. Well, I wouldn't dare to question God whether we thought something was necessary or not, but maybe we can learn a little bit about what God's plan was by this passage today. See, from the very beginning of time, God gave us all the new things in creation. He gave Adam the ability to name everything, all those new things, all the animals and the plants. But sadly, in his selfishness, man took advantage of that and perverted the whole reason for creation. Instead of glorifying God, he used creation to satisfy his own needs. We can't give anything to anyone if all we do is take and take and take, because love never takes, it only gives. But even still, God didn't punish us in that way and take away the gifts of creation. Instead, he sent a man, Jesus Christ, to restore creation to what the original plan was, because Jesus makes all things new again. He came to live as the Father wants us to live. He sacrificed himself completely. He took nothing and gave everything. And he calls us to use creation back the way God originally intended it. Entrusted with creation, he once again had a man restore it to God's plan. And the sacraments are part of that plan, a visible sign of an invisible reality. Last week, we celebrated the baptism of Jesus. He was baptized not because he needed to, but because he wanted to give us an example and to instruct us to all be baptized to a new life in him. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, turning away from sin and back to God. But John's baptism did not bring about a change in the person, only that desire to change. Jesus' baptism is different. The baptism of Jesus through the Trinitarian rule, through pouring of the water, brings about a profound change in us. It changes us internally. It puts a mark on our soul that says we belong to Jesus. We belong to God. We die to our old selves, and we are literally reborn as new creations. And that's why baptism is only celebrated once, because it leaves a mark on our soul. We are his adopted sons and daughters. We heard today John the Baptist also proclaimed that when Jesus was baptized, a dove came down and the heavens opened up and the Father spoke to him. Maybe we don't see the heavens open up, and we don't see doves fly into the church, but at every baptism, God is in heaven saying, "This is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." And that's why babies are so special. That's one of the reasons God came into the world as a new little baby, innocent, holy, and pure. One of my favorite readings for baptism is the reading from Mark chapter 10. "Let the children come to me, do not prevent them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." A child has a simplicity in his ways and ideas, a ready belief in everything he's told, an unjudgmental love, a frank confidence, an open confession of helplessness, an ignorance of evil, an inability to hide his thoughts, a contentment with just about everything and everyone, a quick forgetfulness of trouble, and an admiration for things without even any notion of coveting them. A child is a sign of God's promise of our immortality. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God. Yet so we are. reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us.
Good morning. I don't know, Deacon. I can easily stay up till 9:30 at night now that I'm getting older. Hey, good morning. Thank you, Father, for letting us speak. I'm Don.
And I'm Shannon.
Troba. And we are excited to tell you about a new ministry at Our Lady of Loretto called Families of Character. And I think when we got the message from Father, he said we had 30 or 50 minutes to talk. So awesome. Or maybe it was 3 to 5. Okay, we'll get to it. So you might have seen one or either of us at school or at Mass with one of our 7 kids in tow: Sydney, Charlotte, Josie, Piper, Finley, Xavier, or our newly baptized Beatrice. If you haven't seen us, I'm sure that you've probably heard one of us during Mass, even if you didn't know it. Happens all the time. And if you're anything like us, you might wonder to yourself, at some point, are we the only ones like this? Or maybe, is there anyone in this beautiful church who is in the same situation that I'm in? And the reality is, you're not alone. Certainly, we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be there for us, to guide and comfort us. But through his church, you also have the families right here who help make up the body of Christ. And even though we're all unique, we share similar experiences and a shared way to tackle all that life throws at us. And that's through one of the great gifts that God gives us through Jesus, like Deacon talked about, virtues. And that's what Families of Character is all about. Now, we have 2 simple goals today, Shannon and I do, and that's to get you to visit with us in the narthex after Mass, if you have any questions, and to attend a kickoff meeting this Tuesday, January 21st, in Holy Family Hall from 6 to 8 p.m. if you're interested. Now, to help you with that decision, Shannon and I have prepared a little Q&A to help you. Okay, all right. Shannon, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What is Families of Character?
So Families of Character is a program for families to learn about virtues like orderliness, generosity, purposefulness, and it's a meeting with other families that are like-minded, and we want to teach these to our children.
What's the time commitment like?
It's really not that bad. We're busy families. I understand that. I really understand that. It's 1 meeting a month with the group where we learn about a new virtue. We discuss the previous virtue that we talked about the month before and set some goals as a family. And then ideally, you would get together with your family each week and have a short meeting, and that's up to you how long that is.
Okay, so you've piqued my interest. What's in it for me?
Well, everything is in it for you. So we want our children to lead virtuous lives. So that really is our goal. You also have scheduled family time, which is awesome. And you get to talk with other parents who are in the same boat as you and me.
So has it had any impact on your family and my family?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it has. For us, it's been a really great experience. Not only have we learned how to apply these virtues to our lives here and now, but we've also developed great friendships and camaraderie with other families in the parish who want to be virtuous and who are like-minded, and we want virtuous children. And we can all fulfill Jesus' command to go and spread the gospel together.
So, like we mentioned before, everyone here is invited to the kickoff this Tuesday from 6 to 8 in Holy Family Hall. And we really encourage you to stop by and visit with us in the narthex after Mass. before you get your donuts or after you get your donuts. And we can answer your questions and you can grab a flyer. So we hope to see you after Mass and this Tuesday. Thank you.
Don, thank you, Sharon.